strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Absolutely. Let's see, what did the Cardinals defense do on the very first play from scrimmage on Sunday against the Houston Texans? Wolf, I just want you to know that's the standard. Right out of the gates here, that is the expectation. Boom, bring it on the very first play and don't let up. Don't even think about mailing it in tonight. You have to build on what the Cardinals defense did on Sunday.
Paulie, I'm the only guy here at this table that really is going to bring substance.
Right? I see.
I'm just saying, you
really?
And Clance are going to have this conversation.
Really?
I'm actually going to bring a little bit of substance here.
Okay, I see. You going to stand for that, big man? It is Calais Campbell, everyone. I look right past myself as a physical threat to Wolf and go directly to you because he was saying about everybody seated at this table. That includes you, Calais.
That's my guy right here.
Exactly.
That's right, man.
There you go.
I'll tell you, that was a great way to start a game. I wish we started every game like that.
And who scored on that play exactly?
That was Matt Shaughnessy.
And who was the guest last week on the Big Red Rage?
Matt Shaughnessy. I don't know what it is. Every time a D-lineman gets on the stage, you know, the next week they score a touchdown.
And what happened the game after Dan Williams was on the Big Red Rage?
He caught an interception and ran a whole long 2 yards.
A pick six for Dan Williams.
Did
Matt Shaughnessy the same thing, right?
Absolutely. That's
and amazing. After the game, it was so funny. I got to tell you this story because I came walking down, and after the game, of course, talking about Houston, and we win the game 27-24, where John Abraham comes around the very first play of scrimmage. We all saw it. Bats the ball out. It's rolling around. Shaughnessy jumps on the touchdown suddenly for the Cardinals, right? Very first play. I come down, and after the game, there he is standing there where all you guys hang out after the game, right? Right there at University of Phoenix Stadium. And he says, Wolf, I told you I was going to do it.
What? That's awesome.
I mean,
what are you saying? You're doubting that didn't happen? You're saying he didn't call a shot?
Never,
is that what you're saying?
He never told me he was going to score a touchdown. I told you I was going to do it.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, Wolf. You weren't listening to your own show.
Let's just put it that way. There's a real possibility. That's a true statement.
Yeah. How did it feel to get yet another win at home, get above 500, be in the thick of the NFC playoff chase? Give us a little state of the Cardinals and state of Calais update.
You know, I felt great. I tell you, anytime we go out there and play against a good team like that, and I mean, we dominated them. I mean, we gave them a couple of yards in the first half, but that second half, the way we came out, made the corrections. I mean, we shut them down, and like that's a good team. I mean, that's a very good team for us to do too. I might not have the records 2-7, but talent wise, I mean, they match up with anybody in the NFL. So you know, I mean, we just got to build off of it. You know, take it one game at a time, and really, you know, turn this into something special.
41 total net yards by the Texans in the second half. And I talked to Coach Arians about this in the locker room after the game. And look, not only are the Cardinals starting to win games, all season long, seemingly, correct me if I'm wrong, the Cardinals have won the battle of second half adjustments, especially on defense.
Yeah, you got to take your hat off to Ty Bowles. I mean, he makes great adjustments. I mean, you know.
What is that all about? Explain that to us, all right? For those of us who haven't been in that NFL locker during halftime, I mean, what amounts to a halftime adjustment? Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So halftime, pretty much we go into our little section, you know, chairs, Gatorade, you know, oranges, all that good stuff.
Orange wedges, juice boxes, the usual. Okay. All right.
And then, you know, there's a projector. You know, usually coach will say a few words. He'll have, like, our DB's coach come and make some corrections. You know, have our D-line coach, our linebacker coach, go over what they're trying to do this in the run game. And then he'll usually say we're changing this blitz to do this or we're changing this to do that. Or, you know, this is what they're going to do, so we're going to start calling this play. And, you know, whatever he calls the second half, it always works. You know, it's just like, wow, this guy's a genius.
And it's been one of the big things about this season so far. One of the huge trends has been the defense for the Cardinals, and in particular, the second half. and just how nails Todd Bowles and his adjustments have been. That is the story so far. The biggest trend by far and away for this season, the Arizona Cardinals defense, and in particular, their defense in the second half.
You know, I look at the fact that if you add up all the years of experience, coaching experience on the current Cardinals staff, it's 427 years of coaching experience.
Wow.
And I got to figure some of that comes into play at halftime.
It does. You know, that's what it's all about, man. You have good coaches, got good players. You know, you can beat anybody.
All right, we're going to talk about it all. We're going to get the offense. We're going to get the defense. Special teams, arguably the play of the game. We'll talk about all that. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford with Calais Campbell here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Five receiver set. Shotgun snap. Palmer steps up in the pocket, throws back of the end zone, and a leaping catch for a touchdown by Jerron Brown.
Well, you love to see that for Jerron Brown. He's a young guy. He's got a world of talent. Just ran a post in the back of the end zone.
And he just scored against Seattle in that Seahawks defense and that Seahawks secondary, whatever their nickname is in there, what a legion of gloom or doom or boom or whatever they've nicknamed themselves back there in Seattle with the Hawks, right, and Coach Double Rainbow. Yes, that is a little bit of foreshadowing here on the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, and Calais Campbell with tonight's intro for our special guest.
Yeah, man, this guy right here is one of those guys who just got missed on in the draft, you know. Somebody should have seen this talent. You know, this guy is very, very talented. He always comes up with one big play a game, you know what I mean? You don't ask him to do too much, but he always comes up with one big catch, a touchdown or a big block, you know. But this guy's going to be a stud for us. He's our future, you know, and this is Mr. Jerron Brown.
What's going on? Let me get this straight. So he has size. He has speed. He can catch the ball.
Yes.
What's missing here? I mean, what was missing come draft time? That's what I want to know.
You know, I'm curious, so, you know, what made him fall, you know. But as far as his ability, I mean, he's as good as anybody we have out there.
And, Wolf, it took us, like, what, two practices, 2 days of camp? And everyone's like, okay, wait a minute, 13 here. What's going on? I mean,
yeah.
At no point nobody – you didn't mistake number 13 for Kurt Warner at any point. Did you, Nicholas? You didn't, you know. No, it definitely wasn't Kurt. So we had to figure out who it was. And, Wolf, it didn't take long for him to make a very good first impression.
No, absolutely not. Jerron is one of these guys that definitely looks good in a uni. You probably feel the same way, don't you, Jerron?
Definitely.
Love yeah. How you doing, man?
What do you think about this setup, by the way, right here? What do you think about the whole scene here at Marley's, right? Chandler Fashion Center. You got the crowd. The big man's the host. You know, what are you thinking right now? You know, what's going through your mind? What are your first impressions of our show? What do you think?
Well, you know, Calais came to me today and asked me if I'd do it, and I was excited, you know, because I've seen the Twitter and everything, mm-hmm. the tweets and everything. And like I said, I know you guys set up right here. I pass by it every time. You know, I live close nearby, so.
Nice.
Jerron, do you know who Paul is? As a matter of fact, I mean, do you know he's the sideline guy?
Wolf, we have a sideline connection that you wouldn't know about there, Wolf. No. You're outside the sideline fraternity. Well, let me tell you, bub. Let me tell you right now.
I lived on the sideline, Paul.
Exactly. He doesn't get it there, Jerron. Mm-hmm. Just sort of nod accordingly and just, you know, amuse him over there, okay? So tell us about Jerron, if you would. I mean, how have you adapted to Arizona? What sort of transition has it been? Right, you grew up in South Carolina. You went to Clemson. All right, so I mean, was it a big radical change in your life when boom, all of a sudden you're coming to play for the Arizona Cardinals and live in the AZ?
Well, first thing I had to get adjusted to was the weather, for one. But other than that, like you said, growing up, you know, I was a military brat, so my dad was in the Navy, so I lived around the country. But like I say, coming from South Carolina, just being a country guy and just kid and going to a place like Clemson afforded me the opportunity to just play football, and you know, it's been great.
When you say country, Jerron, how country?
I grew up on a dirt road.
Did you
country.
Really?
Yeah.
That yes. is awesome.
Yeah, it's a small town for sure. So,
like, what would the population be?
Probably not even 8,000.
8,000. Wow. Absolutely. Okay, so you grew up on a dirt road. There had to be some benefit to that, though, right? I mean, I think that growing up in the country offers a kid some benefits. And now look, they may be different than another kid growing up in the inner city, yet at the same time, it does offer some benefit. Do you believe that? And if so, what are they?
I mean, like you say, it's small town, football town, really big on football. So I guess it just kind of allowed me to focus on sports and everything.
A lot of hard work goes on out in the country, though. Did you ever bale hay?
No.
Yeah, so you'd say you didn't grow up on a farm or anything like that?
No, not a farm or anything. No, I mean, closest, my grandma used to always make me rake leaves in the yard, but that's something. I mean, no, not that.
Wolf wouldn't know about chores or manual labor, any sort of hard work. You're talking to the wrong guy over there, Jerron. But wait a minute. I see here in your bio it says that you won state
wait
titles.
Wait a minute. That was not funny.
As a
why
junior and a senior, you're from a small town, but you guys won South Carolina state titles 2 years in a row?
Yes. I actually went 4 years, since my freshman year, but lost the first two, and the last two was able to, yeah.
Does that trump your high school achievements? I don't think we've ever covered this. How'd you do in high school there, big guy?
In high school, I've never won a playoff game.
Oh, wow. It still sticks with you, I can tell.
Yeah,
you get mental help with that. You have to cope with that, the agony.
Yeah, I saw a shrink for like 2 weeks. That's right.
Calais, where did you grow up, as a matter of fact? What kind of environment did you grow up in?
I mean, Denver, Colorado is kind of a big city feel. It's not really too big. It's,
were you right inside Denver proper?
Yeah. I mean, I moved around a little bit through Denver, but, I grew up in Five Points, and then I moved around. My family still lives there, lives in Aurora.
All right. Did you ever bell hay? Did you ever do that?
Well, I wrecked leaves a little bit, too. Yeah. I used to love when it snowed because I could go around the neighborhood and make money, shoveling snow, shoveling people's driveways. It was awesome.
You might have to give Wolf a refresher. Even though we were there in the preseason, tell him about Denver during the commercial break, all right? Refresh his memory, what Denver was all about over there. Okay, all right. So, Jerron, how long did it take you to get used to this offense? Because we heard about guys and it's a pretty complex offense, and Bruce Arians, and look at how thick the playbook is. At what point in the season did you really start feeling comfortable?
I wouldn't say comfortable, but, finally getting a good grasp on it. I would say in the beginning part of the season, at camp, it was just long, those long days, those long meetings. That's what we were meeting for, to learn the playbook.
Just how difficult of a transition was that, coming from Clemson, and suddenly here you are in an offense with Bruce Arians that, even though they don't think it is too much to ask of players, there are a lot of players that have at least struggled to learn the playbook here offensively. So what kind of transition was that like with you?
Like you said, the biggest transition coming from college to really the NFL, the next level, is the playbook so much different. It's so much more in-depth, and it's a lot more into it. You got to look at the defense. You got to be able to read the
defense. You got to read the defense.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to do it on the fly, do you not?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, this guy's very, very smart. People don't realize this, but, he's one of the guys who picks up kind of quick, and that's why he's still here. I mean, to go undrafted and stick around, you have to know what you're doing. I mean, you have to line up right and always do what you're asked of. And, this guy does it, so I think that he had an advantage, He had, a brain most people don't have.
Where do you think, Jerron, you have improved the most right now, personally, from
the
when
most?
You showed up day one to now?
I would definitely say route running.
Route running.
Yeah, route running most definitely.
How so? I mean, where have you improved in that area?
Just getting in and out of my breaks a lot more faster.
That's good coaching, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, great coaching. My coach Drake. So, we spent a lot of time on that before practice, so it's definitely paying off.
I mean, you hinted at it there, Calais. I mean, think about it. You're an undrafted rookie free agent. There's virtually zero margin for error in a training camp if you want to make the team. Think of the pressure this guy dealt with. Not every day. Every snap. Every drill out on that field, and here he is on the team and making an impact. It is the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell and Jerron Brown here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, presented by Santan Ford. Keenum will throw, drops the pass, steps up, ball is fluttered out of his hand. It's loose on the ground, picked up by the Cardinals, and they run it in for a touchdown. Matt Shaughnessy, it's rolled a fumble. John Abraham forces it. Shaughnessy picks it up off the ground and scores just 14 seconds in.
Oh, John Abraham got the edge on Derek Newton and swatted the ball out of Keenum's arms. Oh, it's Matt Shaughnessy once again. Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, there's nothing like looking up at the scoreboard. There's 14:46 to go in the first quarter, and you're already up 7-0, and your offense hasn't even taken the field yet. That's never a bad thing. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. That was the first play from scrimmage for the Cardinals defense in the game. Calais Campbell, special guest Jerron Brown. And correct me if I'm wrong, you were right on the heels. You were actually coming up the middle as John Abraham came from the side and stripped that ball out, correct?
Oh, yeah. He beat me to the punch. I mean, I think he seen me coming, so he sped up a little faster. You know, because that first play, I mean, I was planning to make that, but you know, I'm happy it happened the way it did because I don't know if I would have made a fumble and I don't know if we would have scored a touchdown. And mm-hmm. I mean, those kind of plays, I mean, that affects your season.
You know, Paulie, it was very interesting because I had the opportunity to talk to Bruce Arians about John Abraham and the way that John Abraham is really starting to come around and the sacks are starting to pile up. Through the first six games, he went without a sack. And now all of a sudden he's got four sacks, right? And you can see them starting to pile up here. And I said to him, I said, what's the difference, Coach, between John Abraham week one and John Abraham right now? And he held his hands about 4 inches apart, two index fingers up about 4 inches apart. And he said, about that much. And I said, What are you talking about? And he said, well, he's missed stripping balls by about that much right there. And, you know, it serves as testament to the type of edge rusher that John Abraham is and has been for a long, long time in the NFL. Now he's starting to get it on a little bit. His get off is so much better. And he's also got a nice little change up working right now. When John Abraham can get the edge, just line up and flat out get the edge, and show that offensive tackle that he can get that edge, that's when he's at his best. And if you take that away from him, his effectiveness will go way down. Any true edge rusher, you still got to be able to play that card because once you can get the edge, and Calais, you know that, you know what it means to be able to come back inside because that offensive tackle's jumping out there, knowing you still can get the edge. John Abraham, I think here is a guy, his impact, who knows how many sacks he's really going to finish with this season, but John Abraham is a guy that he's a difference maker.
Well, and they had the scoring change. He got number three. He had a three-sack game.
I think he has six on the season. That's amazing.
He has four in the most recent game, six on the season, yep.
Wow. I mean, he has, I think, 128 in his career.
Staggering. It is staggering.
I have like 132 or something like that. I don't even know how many I have. But
it's actually over 130. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Over 130 sacks.
He has over 100. He has 100 sacks more than me. That's ridiculous. I mean, he's amazing.
You've been incredibly productive this year, Calais, right? You lead the D lineman in tackles with 40. You're tied for second on the team in sacks. But when Wolf emulates Bruce Arians and puts his fingers 4 inches apart, you fall into that category some degree this year. And the Houston game was an illustration of that, right? On several occasions.
100%. I've been that close to so many plays. And, you know, I mean, it happens, you know. The John Abraham taught me is just keep pushing, it'll come. And they come in bunches. When they come, just be ready.
Well, you know, the word Wes Bradley, the Jaguars head coach, used this week was disruptive for Calais and for the Cardinals' defensive front. You know, I mean, and Calais, you said it before. Look, you don't necessarily have to get your hands on the quarterback and bring him down to completely blow up a play, completely impact the play.
When you get in his face, I mean, that's when you start seeing interceptions come. You know, I mean, the quarterback starts throwing the ball a little quicker. You know, he starts getting a little nervous, and that ball comes out a little fast, and guys like Patrick Peterson, I mean, they snag those up there.
Speaking of Patrick Peterson, real quick, Wolf, Jerron, your impressions when you went up against Patrick P. first couple times in camp when you had to match up against him as a cornerback, right? And you're like, okay, was that one of your NFL moments? Welcome to the NFL moments?
Yes, and very first time I actually went against him was in OTAs during the summer, and, man, it was crazy. It was like a deep route, and, he ran me totally off the field, so, like, into the sideline. So I was kind of embarrassed and just looking forward to going against him again next time in camp.
Jerron, you've had some nice plays. Now you haven't had the opportunity to produce an awful lot. What is the best play that you've made personally right now? Is there a play that you can look at and say, you know what, that's a play that proves to me that I can play in this league?
It brings me back to Tampa Bay game. You know, it was a crucial moment, and you know, Carson had told me before. He said, "Hey, if it's cover two, I'm looking your way." So I knew it was coming to me, and that was a big hit.
And, man, you got lit up on that, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a big hit. But, I mean, I was able to hold on to it. I was a little woozy afterwards. But
I bet you were.
Welcome to the NFL.
It builds that confidence. You know, now the coach knows he can go your way and you'll make that big play. And it showed, you know.
Do you subscribe to that receiver theory that, well, I'm going to get hit anyway, I might as well catch the ball? Is that your mentality?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Our coach used to always tell us that. And, you know, Coach Scott from Clemson, he used to always say, hey, you're going to get hit either way, so you might as well come up with a reception.
Where is your confidence level right now, Jerron?
It grows every game. You know, I feel like coming in, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I play a lot of special teams too. So,
right.
I mean, so coming in, even from a special teams standpoint, I didn't know what to expect. And like I said, it grows with every game, just being out there, just being able to go against everybody.
Well, we heard the passing touchdown to Jerron Brown earlier against Seattle. A reminder, each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo goes ahead and donates $500 to local public schools through the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together, will go far. We're going to name some names. You brought up Clemson. You're making a name for yourself in the NFL. There are some big-name receivers, one that's about to come out, one that did come out in the first round. You guys just went up against him in this last game. And we'll also talk about your teammate, Andre Ellington, right? We'll get into that and some special teams talk next. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center with Calais Campbell and Jerron Brown. Randy Bullock ready for a 40-yard attempt. Shane Leckler to hold. Snap, ball is down. The kick is up, and it's blocked by Bethel. And it rolls through the end zone and out of the end zone to end the half. He almost got one earlier. He gets this one, and it remains 17-14 at the half.
Honolulu awaits. Justin Bethel, what a great way to finish the first half.
He is so good at that, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Cardinals lead the NFL in block kicks since 2008. A big reason why. The big man right here, Calais Campbell. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. The special guest, Jerron Brown. And right now you have two on the season for Justin Bethel, two block kicks. And everyone's going into halftime. That's the last play of half. It's a 40-yard field. Okay, that's great. You know, everyone gives the golf clap, and, you know, we like it. That could have been the play of the game right there. That was the margin of victory on the scoreboard.
It was huge. That was a big-time play. And the funny thing is Tyrann Mathieu really wanted to pick that ball up and go score, but it rolled a little too far for him. So probably a good thing it rolled out the end zone. You know, it was good for us. But, I mean, I remember that play exactly because I was thinking I'm going to block this. That's the second time I feel like I had a chance to block it, and Bethel blocked it before I get there. But, you know, I mean, I like it. Yeah, he's special, man. That kid, he's lightning off the edge, you know. Every time he comes off the edge, he comes full speed, and he's tough. I mean, those holding penalties he's had, yeah, I think he's had three holding penalties.
Yep.
I mean, those things are huge.
So unusual when you get a guy that is as good in so many different special teams as Justin Bethel is. I mean, here is a guy that is so good as the skinner, coming off the edge and blocking those kicks, as we know. And it's rare that you find a guy that is that good at doing it that also is a great cover guy. A great cover guy as a gunner and a great cover guy coming down the field on kickoff cover. That is a rare skill set to bring that together because typically you don't find a guy that has the quicks that Justin Bethel has. I promise you this right now, Pauly. If you were to line Justin Bethel up and put him on a line and then put another line 5 yards away from him, I'll bet you Justin Bethel is as fast in the first 5 yards as anybody we have on the team getting off the ball. And it's rare that you find a guy with that kind of talent, that kind of explosion, that can also hold up in kickoff cover.
You know, Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Bethel are roommates right on the road, and they joke. I hear them joke, and they've done so in interviews and stuff on camera and on the mic about how much faster, how much quicker Justin Bethel is and how Tyrann Mathieu would love to have that quickness. You're right, Wolf. He is in, like, an elite category when it comes to that sort of skill set. There's no doubt about it. By the way, speaking of special teams, I have a little shout-out for Dave Zastadil. Two punts down at the one-yard line. I mean, what kind of weapon is Zastadil these days?
Oh, that's special. Especially on defense, you know, when you get a team pinned down on the one-yard line, I mean, you know that's going to turn into points because worst-case scenario, they're punting the ball, we're getting it at the 50. But, you know, we might make something happen, get an interception, take it back to the house. You know, those tip balls turning, you know, turning to 6 points.
You guys start drooling on the defensive line when the offense has the ball at the one, right?
Yeah, that builds momentum. That really can change a game.
Jerron, talk a little bit about your contribution on the special teams where the fur flies, as we all know.
Well, I'm on kickoff coverage, kickoff return, and punt return as well. And it's different because I'm, you know, in college I was the returner actually in the back, and this time I'm around, I'm on the front line.
You're a grunt, right?
Yeah, as you would call it. So, I mean, it's a lot different, but, you know, I'm having fun with it and learn something new every day.
So did you did none of that at Clemson? You were the return guy, and you didn't play on any other special team?
I mean, not towards my senior year.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I was just a returner, and I played a little bit of gunner and jammer on as far as punt and punt return, but yeah, that was about it.
See, that is one of the big adjustments right there too for so many rookies, so many guys that come in. Man, you've got to contribute. You've got to contribute somehow, some way. If you want to make that 53-man roster, and most of the time the biggest impact you can have is in transition on special teams. And a lot of these guys that come, no matter if they're undrafted free agent or a first-round pick, a lot of these guys, they were the best player on their team or close to being one of the best players on their team. And they're not used to playing in transition. It is one of the biggest adjustments mentally you've got to make because it's – the line of scrimmage is one thing, and then all of a sudden you're faced with a 70-yard kickoff cover. Quite a different experience, is it not, Jerron?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, going down there, playing the speed.
Does it scare you at all? I mean, just a little bit. Does it scare you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
This guy comes out full speed, headhunting. I mean, this guy's special on kickoff. I like it, man. It makes me think back my days when I was on special teams, my rookie year, you know.
Oh, no. Now, what are you going to say?
The chest is out right now.
I went from being, like, you know, the man at Miami to coming here and just being, like, a second-round draft pick. It's like, you know, who are you again? You know, go second team kickoff, you know. I earned this spot, though.
You know what, though, Calais? I'm glad you brought that up because, Wolf, true or false, when Calais came out of Miami, okay, and there was a lot of garbage that was written about, does he have a motor?
Yeah, right.
Is he consistent?
Yes.
And what did we see on the teams his rookie year? Oh, this guy's flying around the field. I mean, he was relentless in pursuit and on coverage. I mean, that's where I think you proved all those critics wrong.
Yes, sir. You know, you're on a special teams, you can affect the game. And my whole mentality is if I'm not going to play a lot on defense, I'm going to affect this game one way or another. And special teams is the best way to do it. I love playing special teams.
And, you know, one of the huge advantages, too, it is an incredible thing. And this coming off on the heels of Justin Bethel and what he did and the fact that that was the difference ultimately in the game, the 3 points. To have that ability, the ability of Calais Campbell to line up inside and be that inside presence where you're blocking kicks and then have the skimmer. I can tell you right now, I don't know if I've ever seen that combination in the NFL be as effective as what we're seeing right now since 2008. That's rare. Does not happen.
Well, Jerron, if you're not aware, the guy to your left went to 4 Pro Bowls as a special teams assassin, Ron Wolfley. And, Wolf, since, you know, Calais puffed out his chest moments ago, are you going to go ahead and offer Justin Bethel your condo in Hawaii? As I remind everybody, the Pro Bowl battling is now open. Vote for the best players regardless of conference. Just go to azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. That is where you vote for it. And, yeah, maybe, Wolf, you can pass along the keys to Justin Bethel. Back right after this.
At the 10, at the 5, he's going to get in. Touchdown, Cardinals, on the block field goal.
Lickety jingle, Autrell roll to the house.
It was blocked by Calais Campbell. It actually hit him in the shoulder. That's how high up Campbell got.
Wow.
Special teams player of the week. That's got to make you feel good there.
Yes, it makes me feel real good. You know, I feel like I'm getting all the spotlight, but really it was a team effort. I had a bunch of guys around me that, you know, were a big part of that as well. But it feels good, though.
Wait a minute, is that you? That's you in 2009?
Oh, yeah.
That's you?
I've come a long way since then.
That is a young Calais Campbell. Were you even old enough to order a beer at that point? My goodness. I mean, you sound like you're in high school or something in that soundbite.
I probably look like I was in high school, too. I think I was like 275 back then.
Calais, why the change? I mean, do you have any theories as to why this might be the case?
I like to scream and yell a little bit out there on the field.
I see.
What about the offseason? Does it go back to that at all, or is this what you have now because of all the screaming?
Yeah, man. Football takes a toll on your body and your voice, I guess. You know.
You're like the Kurt Cobain of NFL defensive linemen. You're shredding your voice permanently.
Yeah, but you know what? On a serious note here, Calais, you are one of these guys. You like to walk in between the white lines and scream like a madman, right?
I love it.
Yeah, isn't it a great thing?
It's amazing. I don't
seriously.
Know.
Look, the look in your form. The look in your eyes, the two of you guys right now, it scares me, Jerron, a little bit. I mean, it really does. I'm a little freaked out over here.
It is. Paulie, I'm telling you right now, it's an incredible release. And everyone sitting here right now, there's a little part of them. Everyone listening right now, there's a little part of them that would love to walk in between those white lines and act like a savage. and why not? It's good for you. What a release.
That's why I love football, man. Anything's possible. You get between those hash marks, man. I mean, you can do anything you want to do.
So what do you remember from that play? Antrell Roll took that thing 86 yards the other way on the block.
You know, that was my first block field goal of my career ever. I never blocked a field goal in high school or college. This is the first time I ever blocked a field goal. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, I really blocked it. It was crazy. And then, of course, Antrell Roll, I mean, since he was in college, every time he got his hands on the ball, it was going to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Special.
That's right. You remember that from the days of the U, absolutely. Did you get one of those? Did they push you? Could you do the way you blocked that in 2009, could you get away with that under today's rules?
No, they changed the rules up. I don't know why they tried to take my ability away a little bit. I still get close, though. And I know I'm going to get it blocked real soon. But back then, all you had to do was kind of just keep your feet driving. Somebody pushes you and you just slip through and it was easy.
You know, Calais, when you came into the league, you had guys on the team that mentored you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who are some of those guys that really helped you out?
You know, Antonio Smith was huge for me.
Yes.
You know, playing him last week, it was awesome because he really, you know, he was like my big brother, you know, my rookie year. And then a guy like Antrell Roll, who I already had relationships
right.
with, you know, because, you know, we played together in college. So when I got to the NFL and it was like, you know, he took me under his wing like he was my big brother and really looked out for me. And man, having guys like that, under your belt, guys you can talk to or, you know, just go and get information from when you're a rookie, man, that makes a whole difference.
So, Jerron, have you had that guy? Do you have some guys that you're able to go to and get that tutelage?
Oh, yeah, a group of guys, you know, the wide receivers. Larry, you know, Mike, Andre, you know, those guys just took me under their wing as soon as I got here.
What have you learned from being around Larry Fitzgerald?
Oh, man, he's a worker. You know, one of the hardest working guys I know. This summer, we actually went up to Minnesota and did one of his little camps right there. So, man, that guy's a worker.
How many days were you up there with him?
A week.
A week. You went up the full week up there. That had to be a great experience, right?
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, we was actually up there. We got a chance to train and work out with Chris Carter. So, I mean,
right.
It was just work.
Did you gain some confidence from that? Did you prove anything, you know, to yourself? Because there are a lot of big names, a lot of established guys in the NFL that go to Larry's camp in the summer. So were you able to actually discover anything about yourself, Jerron, prove something to yourself? Maybe that, okay, you know what? I can play in this league.
Oh, yeah, that I need to run a lot more before camp.
The cardio was lacking.
Man, yes.
I see.
I'm over there dying, and then I'm looking at Larry, you know, and he's just not breathing hard or anything. So I was like, wow, I need to get in shape.
You know what? It's got to be so satisfying for you, though. I hear you are an undrafted free agent rookie, right?
Right.
And here you are playing in the National Football League, the highest level our species can generate. Is it overwhelming sometimes when you allow yourself to stop and think about it? Or don't you are you one of these guys that you don't allow yourself to stop and think about it?
I mean, it's still surreal right now. You know, it's just a dream. You know, I've always wanted to be in the NFL, something I always attained, worked hard for. And, I mean, like I said, I'm still dreaming.
You know, and we brought it up earlier, and we hinted at it. You have the size, you have the speeds, you have the smarts, you have the work ethic, the hands, all the above. But you also had something else at Clemson, and that was two first-round draft picks that were also on the team. We saw one against Houston, DeAndre Hopkins, right? And then, what, Sammy Watkins is a guy who'll be coming out. If he comes out this year, boom, he'll probably be a top 15 pick. So, I mean, talk about just how loaded you guys were at receiver at Clemson.
Oh, man, I mean, we were a talented group, I guess you would say. You know, we had Nuke, DeAndre Hopkins. He went first round with Houston and got us playing right now, actually, Sammy Watkins, Clemson Tigers. Go Clemson. But, those guys and it was more guys, younger guys. You know, we still had Adam Humphries and Sharon Peak and Martavis Bryant, some of those other guys. But, I mean, we just had a talented group and a talented offense as well. You know, teammate Andre Ellington.
How is that, playing with a guy like in college and then going to the NFL and he still be your teammate? Like, how is that?
It's crazy. I mean, he was actually my roommate up there. So, yeah, we've been together for a while.
How much did that help settle your nerves, just having a guy you knew that well, Andre Ellington, around during camp?
It was great. You know, we were roommates during camp. So we was able to talk about some of the stuff, some of the different stuff coming in, transitions. Oh, man, we would study the plays together. So it was crazy.
What were you like on the eve of the fight for 53 when the final 53 was announced? What were you like? Did you get any sleep that night?
Man, I was actually, I mean, it was crazy. because I was watching the game. The Clemson Tigers was playing Georgia, and so I was just, you know, at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, took your mind off it a little bit.
That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, it is. That is. It's the Big Red Rage. Jerron Brown, the special guest of Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Here's the handoff, Bo following the block of Wineri, going for the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
66 for Maurice Jones-Drew. 66 rushing touchdown in his career and his 79th overall.
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew definitely has a resume. There's no doubt about that. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Calais Campbell, the host and special guest, Jerron Brown. So you guys have been watching film of the Jaguars, and you see Maurice Jones-Drew. Go ahead, give us a little scouting report on their star running back.
This guy is so small, he's hard to find. But then his vision is second to none in the NFL. He really has the best vision I've seen. Like, watch a film on him. You know, I mean, he might see something trickle open backside, and he just hop steps and he hits it. So you have to really be disciplined. You can't really get out your gap and try to make plays too quick unless you're absolutely sure you can make the play.
You know, Paulie, I think of Maurice Jones-Drew when I think of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He really has been the face, as we know, an excellent player down there for years. But also, when I think of the Jaguars, I look at the numbers here, and they're startling.
Ouch.
Their offense, oh my goodness.
It's bad.
Their offense, if you look at the metrics, number 32 in the NFL, ladies and gentlemen, there are 32 teams in the NFL. Number 32 in points per game. Number 31 in rushing yards per game, and yet they're number 22 in rushing yards per play, and that is because of Maurice Jones-Drew largely. And it makes me think of the National Football League and the way that it is. It's a league that has the best football players on the face of the planet. And on any given Sunday, it has not come together for the Jacksonville Jaguars in any way, shape, or form, offensively or defensively or in transition. It has not come together for them at all. Yet I can promise you, they have NFL football players on that roster. And it's one of the reasons why you're always concerned, Calais, you and Jerron and every other guy that's going to put the silks on and walk out in between those white lines on Sunday. You've got to be concerned because those guys can play.
Oh, yeah. This is the NFL. There's no such thing as an easy game. I mean, the moment you think you got the game won, you know, you're going to go out there and it's going to be a fight. And that's what I love about the NFL. I mean, you can't really go out there and just expect the team to lay down. Now, they're going to put up their best fight. They got a little momentum going. They won the game. You know, and Tennessee's a pretty tough team on the road.
Yes.
I mean, their defense stepped up at the right time. Their offense made plays when they had to. And, you know, if we don't be careful, it's going to be, we don't have ourselves in a dogfight.
What is so funny about it, too, there's so many people that are talking about, oh, the Cardinals are going to, you know, they're going to win this game going away. And I do believe we're going to win this game, yet at the same time, they're making it sound so easy. And I can promise you, you put those pads on and you go play. You walk out there in between those white lines and you play against Jacksonville and the players they have. And I'll promise you, you're not going to feel good Monday. You won't.
Well, here's what they look at. The fact that Jaguars have not scored a touchdown at home all season long. They look at the first eight games, and the average margin of victory by the opponent was more than three touchdowns per game in a league where the vast majority of games are decided by 7 points or less. So they've been an outlier on that plot map, right, of NFL teams until they went out and they got a couple of defensive touchdowns and they beat Tennessee on the road. And so, Jerron, I don't know what you've seen or anything in particular jumps out in terms of the defense of the Jaguars, but they cashed in a couple of picks last week and a fumble. And so I don't know, what do you think they do best on defense based on what you've seen?
One thing is they're hardworking. You know, those guys is not going to give up on the play and that's going to scramble to the ball. As far as the secondary goes, you know, those guys probably going to play press and try to see what we're made of.
And they have three rookies starting in the secondary. Think about that. Two safeties and a corner. So they're athletic, but they're young. And they're inexperienced. There's no doubt about it. We'll continue to get you ready for the Jaguars. Talk more with Calais Campbell and Jerron Brown here at the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Very disappointed with the Jaguar mascot, Jackson DeVille. I had a lot of respect for him as he came in on the zip line, Wolf, in pregame, but he's down there with a fake microphone just pounding an innocent bystander.
You were amused by that, Dave.
Yeah, I think he was pretending to be Kanye West, so Jackson DeVille was letting him have it as maybe somebody wanted to do to Kanye.
That was from 2009. Yes, that was the voice of the Cardinals, Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley, and they were calling a little play-by-play there of a little mascot skit, which emulated the whole Kanye and Taylor Swift thing and all that. And am I on target there, Wolf? I'll be honest with you. That was in the sidelines. I tuned you guys out during that part.
Yeah. No, you're right, Paul. That's what it was about.
That's what it was
about. David found that very amusing.
Yes, he did. Well, he's an aficionado of referees and mascots, Dave Pasch, the
right.
voice of the Cardinals. That's one thing about it. When you guys are at a game, how much do you soak in the atmosphere of a game? We're on board here, Calais Campbell, the Big Red Rage, and his guest, Jerron Brown. I mean, hey, do you take a moment and sort of, okay, and you sort of soak it in and, I don't know, internalize it and then let it loose?
I do. You know, for me personally, like, this is a dream come true. You know, since I was 6 years old, all I've ever wanted to do was play in the NFL. So when you get out there, you know, pregame, you're warming up, you kind of just soak in the atmosphere. You know, look around the stadium, see all the people's names on the ring of fame.
Ring of honor, yeah.
Ring of honor.
Yeah.
And then you have the grass, you kind of smell it, or if it's turf, you kind of, you know, get your feet in there, get your placement, you look in the stands, and you just kind of just observe the ambience, and, you know, in the stadium. And, you know, it's a dream come true, man. I'm living a dream.
See the way that worked right there, Jerron? You had the sideline guy actually ask a question about the ambiance of the game going on. I'm going to actually ask you a question as the color analyst. I'm going to ask you a question about the Jacksonville Jaguars in that secondary in particular. From a tactical level, a strategic level, I should say, do they play more man? Are they more of a man-covered team? Or with Lovie Smith down there, are they playing those two safeties high, playing a lot of zone?
It's quite a lot of zone, actually, looking at tape. Some cover two as well, and some Tampa two. But, I mean, like you say, you got to be ready for every look, and that's one thing we prepare for in practice.
Would you say that they're a high-pressure team? Do they like to get you in third and obvious pass situations and try to come after you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely third down. You know, we're looking for the blitz, and that's why we have sights and the correct adjustments to make for those.
All right, so, Wolf, you're down there. Translation, Jerron, he was preparing to bore your ears off, okay, is what he was doing over here. I'm going to get to some real substance over here. ProFootballFocus.com, a respected website, right?
Yes, it is.
They break down every play. They break down every player. They have graded you as a top five defensive end so far this season. Ding. They paid in particular attention to you and J.J. Watt. Here's what they wrote. Quote, yesterday's matchup between these two had the air of two of the game's best going back and forth in a game of one-upsmanship. End quote.
It was a battle. I will tell you the truth. I was trying to top him. And it really was. You know, whatever he did, I wanted to do something better. And we went at it. We battled, and it was awesome. You know, I'm glad we won the game.
Well, you talked about it. I mean, it was a motivating thing. You talked about it this time last week about, you know, a guy on the other end who's an NFL Defensive Player of the Year. You find that motivating, don't you?
I really do, man. My goal is to be the best, and if you want to be the best, you have to outplay everybody else.
Well, when I showed this to him, folks, during the commercial break, he said, well, I got a few guys to go up the rankings. So that was his reaction.
I do. My goal is to be number one.
There you go. Always grinding. Love it. It's the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Jerron Brown, back right after this at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. All right, so it's been a month at home. You had the three home games. You had the bye. It is the Big Red Rage. We're wrapping it up here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, presented by Santan Ford, Calais Campbell, special guest Jerron Brown. So you got to get back into that road mentality. What does that mean for you, Calais?
You know, I feel like the road is it's like me against the world. You know, me and my teammates, we come together as one, and we got to beat everybody else. You know, the host stands, everybody's against us. You know, we have to go play our best ball. I love it.
You know, the O-line got game balls by Coach Arians there, Jerron. Maybe a quick comment, right, on your teammates there on the offense, the big guys up front. They came out and, according to Coach, played probably their best game of the season.
They play real well. You know, anytime you got the O-line playing well, that's going to give time for the quarterback to find the receivers downfield. So, definitely benefits.
Speaking of benefits, Calais, leaving on a Friday, leaving tomorrow, as a matter of fact, to go play the Jaguars. I mean, are you accustomed to that? Do you actually like that now? Do you think most of the guys like leaving on Friday? Is it effective?
I think the reason why you have to do it is because you really can't get the time back. You have to leave on a Friday so you can become accustomed to it. But I wish we could leave on Saturday and keep the routine the same.
Yeah.
But when you go that far, you almost have to leave the day before. It just makes sense.
Now, Wolf, you're not going to ask the West Coast team going to the East Coast start time. You're not going to ask that question.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. Just by the way, getting back to the O-line, how gratifying is that for you? You've been working with a lot of these O-linemen, right? Bradley Sowell in particular.
Yeah, I guess that kind of challenge they face. You know, those guys are special, and they played their butts off. I mean, they played, play in and play out dominant, and I respect that, man. I mean, I'm happy to see that, because if they play like that, we can go deeper to the playoffs.
So if this Jacksonville Stadium is like half full, you know, you're still going to be able to bring it. You're still going to be able to motivate yourself. You're not going to be able to feed off the energy of the crowd. It's probably going to be crickets out there.
You know, I love the fans, and the fans make the game special. But if nobody's there, I'm still going to play the game as hard as I can. I love this game.
All right. You enjoy it, Jaron? You enjoy it tonight on the Red Rage?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right, beautiful. Beautiful. So now when he drives by, Wolf, he'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. You know, cool. You're in the club now.
Jaron, you're doing a great job, buddy. Keep it up, man.
A special thanks, Jim Almondra, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird, everyone here, the guys at Santan Ford, for Jaron Brown, Ron Wolfe, I'm Paul Calvisi, Calais Campbell, everyone, on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, Aces?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.